dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this episode from the life of our Lord Jesus, which we receive from the apostles, is a good synopsis, we could say, of what we Christians all have to do in our life. It's a sort of, I could see in it an analogy for the spiritual life. We all live in the hope of the resurrection, but the reality that we experience is one of suffering and sin, a brokenness. And yet, we have this wonderful power of good within us that comes from the faith that reality is not limited to this life and to this world, which is passing, but there awaits us a perfect life in Christ if we live according to His will, if we follow Him. In the Transfiguration, then, we have a transitory glimpse of this transcendent and eternal glory that awaits us. Christ went before us, and the context in which this occurs is important also to understand. The Gospels tell us the episode regarding the Transfiguration begins with the comment, "After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves." After 6 days. 6 days after what? 6 days after Peter had confessed that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And in the 6 days, then, between that confession and this glorious vision, we have great drama. What happens in the life of Christ, in the gospel, which is in many ways the pattern of life for all mankind, then hence who will follow Christ to eternal life. It's like a symphony. There are movements, and there are these great landscapes of events and emotions that go with them. There are highs and lows, and so it begins on this high note. Peter realizes that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and our Lord tells him, "It is not by flesh and blood that this has been revealed to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you." That's a high point. And then the gospel tells us, after that, our Lord began to tell them and reveal to them that the Son of Man must suffer and die. And Peter objects to this, if you remember. And our Lord told him, "Get behind me, Satan." So from this high point of his being given the keys of the kingdom of heaven, he's called Satan and told to get behind Christ. So we have a low point. And then our Lord brings him and James and John up the mountain, up a high mountain. And they're given this vision of glory. Origen says that Peter's comment on the mountain shows that he's still hoping to help our Lord avoid the cross. When he says, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter is comforted by this vision. And the presence of Elijah and Moses are also a comfort to him. Elijah, who called down fire on the false prophets of Baal, and Moses, who led them out of Egypt and spoke with God in the cloud. And so Origen says that in this we see Peter is, without going so far as telling our Lord, you know, let's avoid this suffering that you're going to have, but he's implying, let us stay here. This is a good place, and he sees our Lord in his glory. But it cannot be so. After this vision takes place, our Lord leads them back down the mountain and tells them they can't talk about this until the Son of Man had risen from the dead, which they didn't yet understand. But all this is a preparation then to sustain the apostles and the disciples of Christ in that great and terrible moment of trial, which is our Lord's suffering and passion and crucifixion and death. And as I said, this is in many ways representative of what we Christians all have to live and experience. We all face trials, and in suffering, especially suffering that is sustained over a long period of time, for instance, with the illness of a loved one, or even the loss of a loved one to let's say, a violent crime or something like that, or the sickness of an innocent child who suffers, it can be a great challenge to the faith to believe, can there really be a God who would allow all of this to happen? And yet, we're sustained, not directly by the vision of our Lord's glory, unless someone has been especially blessed to have been given such an experience, but we believe in the testimony of the apostles who experienced this and who lived through the crucifixion, not they themselves, but our Lord's crucifixion and the terrible darkness of those 3 days between the crucifixion and the resurrection, and then went on through many trials, witnessing to Christ, even to the shedding of their own blood. And this truth has come down to us through the centuries, despite many persecutions of the church. So our Lord has given us this momentary glimpse of glory as a fulfillment of the promises that were made during those 6 days between Peter's confession and this vision of the transfiguration. Our Lord had told them, first of all, the conditions of discipleship, which are that you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. And then he said that they would see him come in glory. Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this faithless and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. So he is speaking of not the transfiguration there, but of the second coming. And we all await this. But he gave them then a foretaste or a glimpse of that coming in glory, which will take place at the end of this age. And he told us that if we want to follow him, if we want to be with him, and be with him in this glory that he's demonstrating, then we have to be like him and deny ourselves as he denied himself. So brothers and sisters, let us take comfort and joy in the Feast of the Transfiguration, which is this transitory glimpse of the eternal glory that awaits us, the transcendent life of union with God and freedom from sin and death and suffering. May the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church, help us in the times of trial and remind us of our true purpose, which is not to be realized in this life, in this world, but in the next. Praise be Jesus and Mary.